A quote from Sojourners Online this week. One of the most depressing things I heard on the first day of the government shutdown was that it was a record fundraising day for both parties. Washington, D.C. is no longer about governing, it is just about winning and losing. But the people who lose the most during the government shutdown are those who live day to day on their wages, those at the lower end of the nation's economy, and the poorest, most vulnerable who are always hurt the most in a crisis like this. So think about the conversations that you had or maybe overheard this week about the government shutdown. Were those conversations mostly focused on those who are most hurt by it? Or were those conversations mostly about who is at fault? Who is at fault? Well, it's the Republicans, right? Oh, no, wait, it's the Democrats. Well, definitely the president. Oh, no, wait a minute, it's the media. We can all agree on that one, right? It's the media. Yeah, sometimes it seems as if evil really is winning. And it's a lot easier to sit in judgment over whose fault that is than for each of us to look inside and ask, how am I part of this? How am I part of this? How do I participate in dysfunction and injustice? How do I contribute to the coarseness of civil discourse? As long as we're asking questions, where is faith and forgiveness in all of this? These are key things in our gospel text today. Where are faith and forgiveness? Where is God in all this? God, how long will I cry out and you will not answer? What is God doing in the world? What is God doing in me and in you and in this congregation? Well, in our gospel text today, Jesus, who is headed toward Jerusalem, is teaching his followers about the power of faith and the duties of discipleship, these two things. Well, in that first part of the reading, Jesus first was warning against causing these little ones to stumble. Remember, little ones doesn't necessarily mean children. It means those who are weaker in the faith. Very much warning against causing them to stumble. And then he says, if anyone sins against you, you must forgive them. You must forgive them over and over and over again. And this is the point, and that's why we had to read those first four chapters or first four verses, because this is the point at which the disciples cry out, increase our faith. Has to do with forgiveness. They weren't just generally randomly saying, make us more holy or something. But in relation to forgiveness, increase our faith. Well, maybe this is one time where the disciples actually get it, or at least partially get it. They know that they have stumbled in their lives and that they have caused and will cause others to stumble too. So they are in need of forgiveness, as well as must at times offer forgiveness, and that forgiveness is not easy. It's not often easy to ask for forgiveness or to offer it. But why is that? Why is it so hard to forgive, to ask for it or to receive it? Well, one reason may be if we can't recognize our own need for forgiveness. If my worldview is so right and really the problems are all everybody else, why do I need forgiveness? And it's going to be awfully hard to offer it. But then there's the other side of that coin, and that is when we can't believe that we are forgiven. Maybe there's something in us that we are so ashamed of, that we would be so ashamed if it came to light and other people knew, and we feel that we cannot be forgiven for this. And so therefore it's hard to offer that forgiveness. Increase our faith. Well, of course, Jesus tells his followers they don't need more faith. They already have all the faith they need. even if it's the size of a teeny tiny mustard seed. And if you've ever seen one, they're really tiny. And he says, even with that little amount of faith, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. We have all that we need to live miraculous life. It's already in there because we have this God who is faithful and who forgives. The same God who heard the cry of the prophet Habakkuk, who said, oh Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not listen? It's not going well. Evil seems to be winning. And God responds, salvation will surely come, but the righteous live by their faith. We have faith in this God who from old has always been faithful and forgiving. God has always kept God's promises to Abraham and Sarah, to Moses and the Israelites, to Mary of Nazareth, the mother of Jesus. Because yes, it is in Jesus that we know for certain that God is faithful and forgiving, because Jesus not only teaches about faith and forgiveness, Jesus is faith and forgiveness incarnate, faith and forgiveness in the flesh. In his teaching, surely Jesus was faithful to God's vision of shalom, peace for all of creation. All of creation, humanity and the created world and the animals, we have to say on this Sunday where we also remember St. Francis. And then in his deeds, of course, Jesus faithfully loved, healed, taught, served, forgave all of God's beloved people. And then in that ultimate act of faithfulness, Jesus died. Died on that cross, crucified for our sakes, forgiving even from the cross his executioners, forgiving you and me. We who crucify love daily with our blaming and our fault finding and our stubborn failure to forgive. Well, ever faithful, God raised up Christ to new life, raised up Christ from the dead, miracle of miracles, and we enter into this miracle in the waters of baptism and in the bread and wine at this table. And when we hear the word proclaimed, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Through Christ, we are made righteous. Now, there's a churchy word. We tend to think that righteous means something moral, like somehow somebody is holier than thou. But righteous actually means that we are put in right relationship with God. It's not a moral word, but really it's a relational word. That we have been made right with God. This righteous person then knows that God is the giver of faith. Someone has to give and receive. There's a relationship there. And the righteous know that God is active in the world and in them, even when they can't always see that. And the righteous have experienced God's forgiveness and so are able to forgive. The righteous live faithfully even when it seems like evil is winning, because we know that we have the Spirit of the living Christ living in us. We just heard read from the second letter of Timothy, God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. And it continued, join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God who saved us. So relying on God's power, we're not in this alone. The power of God who saved us and who called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to God's own purpose and grace. According to God's purpose. This is what we are invited into, to be partners in God's purpose. And God's purpose is healing and wholeness through faith and forgiveness. healing and wholeness through faith and forgiveness. Discipleship then really is about serving, yes, but serving and forgiving in faith. Yes, we're called to be Christ's hands and feet. We're called to bring God's shalom, God's peace into our time and place, and we're called to forgive with the heart of Christ. So what does that look like? Maybe it looks like everyday miracles. Maybe it looks like you and me stopping the cycle of blame and placing fault and instead joining with others to focus on solutions. Solutions for poverty, solutions for injustice, solutions for reconciliation. Maybe it looks like you and me taking a stand in ways that don't reduce life's complexities to black and white certainties, but that instead we look for common ground with the neighbor, always starting in a place of common ground. Maybe it looks like you and me asking for and offering forgiveness over and over and over again. We have the faith to live and to forgive miraculously, to forgive those small everyday injuries and to forgive those things that we think are absolutely unforgivable, because God has forgiven those in us through Christ. Christ is at work in the world. Christ is at work in you and me and in this community. May we live faithfully. May we be the miracle. May we be the miracle of love and service and forgiveness in this world over and over and over again. Amen.